He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is the October 20th edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, hope's first stimulus. Where have you heard that before? I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's true. The market is up this morning on hope's first stimulus. Of course, it was up yesterday on that same hope. It did not get a stimulus package, and by the end of the day, the Dow was down 400 points. But right now, it's up 240 points, making back about half, a little over half of what it lost yesterday when the stimulus package didn't reach the finish line. The Dow now resides at 28,435, not venturing too far one way or another from the 28,000 area. The S&P 500 sticking right around 3,400, 3,500 these days. It's up 31 today, however. That's 0.9%. We're at 3,458. NASDAQ is up 108 after being down almost 200 yesterday. NASDAQ's up 1% at 11,588. Russell 2K up 1%, best performer of all there, and a bit of a risk-on move in the market today. Russell 2000 is up 16 points to 1,630. Crude oil is down 37 cents to $40.46. Gold down $7.50. You know, gold just can't get out of its own way these days. You would think with all of the hooting and hollering and the upcoming election and all the issues around the world, gold would be doing better, but it's mired at 1904. And the 10-year yield this morning, 0.79%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we've got the same playbook right now, at least so far, as yesterday. Yesterday, the market was up in the morning, pretty good on hopes of what? Another $2 trillion plus, or close thereof to $2 trillion stimulus package. By the end of the day yesterday, there was not an agreement. It would seem that Trump is higher than Pelosi on the dollar amount, but the Republican senators can't quite swallow or stomach the amount that Trump is at. So we'll see if there's any kind of a compromise. Looks like today or tomorrow will be a deadline, which is 2 weeks left before Election Day, which is 2 weeks from today. So markets once again up on hopes of another stimulus package. We'll see how that goes throughout the day. Of course, if it falls through, we saw what happened yesterday by the end of the day. The Dow was down 400 points. So look for some volatility here today, depending on how those stimulus talks go. We have big news coming from the U.S. Department of Justice, Antitrust Department, actually, against Google. U.S. Justice Department and 11 states sue Google for antitrust over search and search ads. Well, they consider them to be anti-competitive, to dominate the market, to force others out of the market, to muscle others out of the market. It says here that they are charging the search engine giant with anti-competitive conduct to preserve their monopoly in search and search advertising. That marks the biggest challenge from the U.S. against a technology company since the Department of Justice 90s case against Microsoft. Oh, I remember that back then. Along with Texas, the states joining in are Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Michigan, Missouri, Montana, and South Carolina. What do all those states have in common? They all have Republican attorney generals. The filing keeps a promise for a president who pledged to go after tech companies that he alleges use their dominance and continue to use their dominance in part to stifle conservative voices. That's the president's view. But, of course, you know, I mean, it's not just, I don't think, a conservative thing. Elizabeth Warren has also wagged her finger and challenged. If there's any bipartisan agreement out there anymore these days, it would seem that the tech company's dominance is both a Democratic, on the Democrat agenda, addressing that dominance, and on the Republican agenda. So we'll see how this goes. I'm sure it is a political move 2 weeks before the election. We'll see how it goes. Google stock is barely moving here today because, you know what, it was expected. That's been a known fact that that was coming. In fact, Google is up 1.4% today, one of the FANG stocks. Stocks wilt yesterday, stimulus deal still out of reach. Where are they at now these days? Today's kind of supposedly a deadline put out there by Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. The Speaker and Secretary Mnuchin spoke for approximately 53 minutes on Monday. Who timed that? You know, hey, look at that. It was right on 53 minutes. They continue to narrow their differences. The Speaker has tasked committee chairs to reconcile differences with their GOP counterparts on key areas. Drew Hamill, the spokesman for Nancy Pelosi, said via Twitter, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker, continues to hope that by the end of the day Tuesday, now that's just around the corner, we will have clarity on whether we will be able to pass a bill before the election. The two principals will speak again tomorrow, and staff work will continue around the clock. Okay. In the meantime, we're in the midst of earnings season. We've had one economic report come in this morning. Building permits, a little bit lower than expected. And, of course, the global markets are watching the stimulus talks here in the U.S. They were all pretty muted overnight ahead of a stimulus deadline and a stimulus impasse. In the meantime, Europe has been hardest hit with the second wave of the COVID-19 virus. Getting cooler over there in Europe with new cases growing at over 150,000 a day. And Ireland has gone into a six-week lockdown of non-essential businesses to counter rising virus cases. A lot of businesses headquartered in Ireland. Kind of became a technology hub there for a while with their favorable business tax situation that is not as big of a hub. You're not seeing as many companies move offshore to Ireland as we used to see, but Ireland is going into a six-week lockdown of non-essential businesses. One of the big European banks, UBS, had a pretty good earnings report. Last time I looked, the stock was up 5%. Hey, that's a nice move out of UBS. It's up 6.3%. Of course, a major World Bank out of Switzerland, $45 billion in market capitalization. Had some issues in the past and was recently part of that gang of five banks under investigation for laundering lots of money over the years. Tonight, the earnings parade will continue. One of the biggest tech names, Netflix. Netflix will report after the close tonight. That's probably one of the top 10 most watched reports. So this is really the first big one. Of course, we had the big banks, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup. They're not the stars that they were. You know, it's now the Netflix and Amazon and Apple. Those are the earnings everybody's watching, Google, etc. Netflix will report after the close tonight. And, of course, they've had their own little controversy here over this past quarter with a cancel Netflix move. We'll see if that impacted those earnings tonight. That ought to be exciting. I always look forward to Netflix earnings report. All right, this is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio. Lots of news to talk about here today. Things happening all over the world and with individual stocks. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the market has maybe picked up just a little steam since we started. The Dow's now up 200 points, while the S&P's up 27 points. That's about 0.8%. And the NASDAQ's up 90 points right now. That's also about 0.8%. You know, it's appearing more and more likely that whoever does come up with the vaccine, I don't know that it's going to be a big money maker, really, for that firm. Look at the money it costs to develop it. They're not going to be able to charge that much for it. Even when good news comes out on some of these the leaders in the vaccine race, they don't really move that much. You know, yesterday you had Pfizer talking about late November. The stock didn't move that much. Today, it's Moderna. Moderna says that they are not far behind Pfizer on vaccine emergency authorization. They say that the U.S. could authorize emergency use of Moderna, mRNA, experimental COVID-19 vaccine in December. That's according to CEO Stefan Bancel. If the company gets positive interim results in November, that's about a month away from a large clinical trial, okay? That's going to be the key. And, of course, Pfizer is working with Germany's BioNTech, BNTX. They have already manufactured several hundred thousand doses at its plant in Puurs, Belgium, according to the Daily Mail. Pfizer hopes to make 100 million doses available this year, a figure that will be dwarfed by the 1.3 billion doses. Now, this is Pfizer that the company aims to manufacture in 2021. I think Moderna has a much bigger problem. I don't know that they can manufacture the vaccine like Pfizer is doing. And really out of the race right now, as they continue to be sidelined in their trials, is AstraZeneca. And then, of course, there's the minor players: Novavax, Inovio, Dynavax, iBio, Altimmune, VBI vaccines, and another major player, GlaxoSmithKline. But it looks to me it's still a race between Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and Moderna. Well, IBM did it again. You know what? This is the poster child for what I call a soggy stock. What do you mean by soggy? Well, you know what? If you've ever been out fishing and there's usually an inch of water in the boat somewhere you're walking in, and your sneakers are soggy when you walk in. My wife can hear me coming down the hallway. She says, "Take off those soggy sneakers, Bill." Okay, before you enter the living room on our nice carpet here. Anyways, IBM has gone nowhere. In my book, soggy is a stodgy old growth giant of yesteryear. Now, if you don't get, if you haven't learned anything from my show over the last 23 years, I say it over and over again, as long as earnings are rising at a company and the stock doesn't get too expensive, the stock's going to continue to go up. But when you look at IBM's stock chart, I'm just looking at the yearly stock chart, that's about as sideways as you can get. Why is it sideways? Because the earnings have not only been sideways, they've actually tilted down a little bit. Consider that 10 years ago, IBM was making the same amount of money per share, earnings per share, as they are today. But, you know, you've got the dividend hound saying, well, look at that, 5.5% dividend yield. Okay, if I own the stock for the next year, I'll earn 5.5% in dividend. But now consider that the stock is down 6.34% today. Today. Well, there went a year's worth of dividends and then some in the way of my principal. I don't understand the philosophy of, you know what, I'm collecting. What do I care if the stock goes down? I'm still getting my dividend. No, I mean from a mathematician's point of view, that's always where I did best in school was math. I remember one time they sent me out to the playground. I was so far ahead of the class in sixth grade. Of course, that doesn't really mean much. He said, go measure the square footage of our playground. Well, I went into the janitor's office. I found a hockey puck. I attached a string to it. It was 100 feet long. I was back in about 5 minutes. My buddy and I, we had the square footage of the playground. But anyways, math was always my subject. When it comes to dividend-paying stocks, you want total return. Just like owning an apartment. Well, I'm getting rent, but isn't it even better if the apartment or the rental unit increases in value? Now, that's a double-barreled return there. You get gain, capital gain, and you get dividend. IBM, you're getting no capital gains whatsoever because you have flat earnings. Well, they've got a new guy at the helm. We'll see if he can turn that ship around. But they reported in line. You know, that's actually better than they've done in the past. They almost always miss their expectations. And there you go. You got a big revenue decline. Their sales, of course, we're still in the midst of COVID. Their sales for the quarter were down 3%, and their earnings were down 4%. So, yeah, you can have that dividend. Go ahead, take that dividend. I have no interest. I want total return. I'd rather have a 1% dividend and 15% capital appreciation. That's up to 16. A 5% dividend and a 6% hit to the stock today equals minus 1. Alibaba takes a 6.1% stake in Dufry, D-U-F-R-Y. Now, when you think of Dufry, think of duty-free. You know, you land at the airport, you're in a duty-free zone, there's all kind of perfumes and chocolates, Belgian chocolates, maybe liquors from around the world. They're duty-free. Well, Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba just continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I still consider it to be one of the cheapest growth stocks in the world today, large cap growth stocks. It is one of the stocks that I own in my premier growth portfolio. It's hitting a new high today at $309 per share. And, of course, they'll be spinning off one of the biggest IPOs, if not the biggest IPO of all time, in Ant Financial here soon. But they take a 6% stake in a Swiss company, Dufry, which is no small company. But I got to believe that Dufry stock is pretty cheap right now. Not a lot of people going through the airports these days, stopping in the duty-free stores. Ammo orders surge. You better duck. Ammo company, POWW, says backlog in excess of $100 million. They can't keep up with the demand for ammo. What is going on? Well, this is Bill Gunderson. There's a lot going on. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Well, the market has settled just a little bit since we last spoke, but still hanging on to some pretty good gains. The Dow up 168. The NASDAQ right now is the S&P up 24, so it's down a few points since we last talked. NASDAQ's up 72 right now. And, of course, a lot will happen when we get some clarity on whether there will be a stimulus deal or not. The market is addicted to stimulus. All right, we've got GM. I was just noticing this. GM is breaking out today. Of course, GM was involved in the Nikola controversy. We still don't know where that's going to end up. But General Motors says it plans to make a major U.S. manufacturing investment announcement tomorrow, which reportedly will include plans to begin building the Cadillac Lyric electric SUV at its Spring Hill, Tennessee plant. Hear that, Tennessee? Cadillac coming your way. Lyric electric SUVs. And, of course, Ford is going to have their Mustang, but that got set back a little bit, I want to say, recently. Their Mustang SUV. On Friday, Gerald Johnson, GM's head of global manufacturing, said the factory for the Lyric would be announced this week. Consulting firm LMC Automotive predicts the Lyric, GM's first electric SUV, will be built in Spring Hill, which would make the facility the company's third for producing electric vehicles. You know, GM was one of the earliest to the electric game with the Chevy Volt, but seemingly not ahead of the technology curve, where obviously Tesla has got a major lead there. So now it's a catch-up game for GM. It seems like once you lose that, remember, you know, Google was not always the dominant search engine. Well, I remember when the internet first come along, we were all using Yahoo to do our searches, and others. There were many other. Ask Jeeves was another one. Microsoft, you know, tried many times to be the dominant search engine, but once you kind of lose that dominant place, it's hard, you may never get it back. But GM is making headway in their electric vehicle, their electrification push. And speaking of electrification, the stock is breaking out right now. You know, I'm just going to look it up in my beststocksnowapp.com because it has been on my watch list here recently. GM is currently ranked number 590. Out of 5,430. Now, it's got a hefty dividend yield. The current dividend yield on GM is 4.4%, but I think you've got a shot at some pretty good capital appreciation going forward if they're able to execute and grab some market share in that luxury electric vehicle market, if they can grab some of that market share away from Tesla. In the meantime, the lithium stocks. You know, the leader there seems to be Lithium America, LAC, which is based out of Canada. That is now a, how big is that company? $1.1 billion in market capitalization, LAC. I don't have any position in LAC, nor do I have any position in GM. But Lithium America, a major player. Why is lithium in those batteries? Because of its weight. It's the lightest metal on the metal chart. And it's also the most volatile, but they seem to have that under control. All right, autonomous robots in construction. Now, I bring this up because I've talked about the ARK ETFs last week, ARKK. One of the ETFs that ARK has is BOTS. Maybe BOTS isn't theirs. I think that's actually someone else's. But BOTS, B-O-T-Z, invest in robotic, you know, anything that's transformed. Yeah, it's global. The Global X Funds runs BOTS, which is corresponding to the Global Robotics and Artificial Intelligence thematic. So, yeah, those are two very hot areas, and BOTS has done very, very well. Global robotics, we've seen waiters, that are robotic. You've got vacuum cleaners that are robotic. You've got assembly lines that are robotic, and it's just going to continue to grow. And, of course, artificial intelligence is also a massive industry. I would just bring to your attention the ETF BOTS, B-O-T-Z, which invest in those two. And you've got an individual company today in the news. Well, we know Trimble. Trimble's been around for quite some time. They're in the navigation business. Trimble and Boston Dynamics to integrate a variety of construction data collection technologies. They want to get into the robotic field in construction. Okay, so interesting partnership there. The state of the bond market these days. If you're looking for yield, you know, we have our bond fund, which we bought those positions quite some time ago when we were still able to get a little over four in some of the best stocks now. And, of course, we have received both capital appreciation and the coupon on that bond fund. But looking around the world today, you know, here's just one example. Ross Stores, you go out 6 years with a Ross Stores, which is a good company, bond, what do you get paid? 1 7/8%. 1 7/8% for the next 6 years. That is the current state of the bond market. It continues to be bloated. It continues to be overpriced. We're just very fortunate that we started our bond fund when we did. This should come as no surprise. AMC Entertainment guides Q3 revenue well below estimates. They're in trouble. In fact, I read that they're renting out. You can lease the whole theater and go take your best friends and whatever and pick the movie you want to watch. You can have the theater to yourself. Big trouble. I mean, there's so many of these shifts that we've seen away from bricks and mortar, away from theaters, anywhere where people gather. Look at the NFL. Is anybody even talking about the World Series? Yeah, there's a World Series going on right now. Poor Atlanta ousted by the Dodgers, and of course the Dodgers ousted my San Diego Padres. And you got Tampa Bay. Hey, they're having a good year for sports down there in Tampa Bay, aren't they? They won the Stanley Cup. And the Tampa Bay Bucks are not doing too badly either with Brady. But is anybody watching? We've just seen a whole seismic shift due to COVID and the theater industry really in the crosshairs. You know, Wells Fargo. Okay, it's finally disclosed that Buffett's almost completely out of Wells Fargo, one of the worst-run companies of all time. Look at all the problems Wells Fargo has had. Now, am I going to listen to their hot deals here, their top picks right now in the market? Here's one. L Brands, tipped by Wells Fargo to blast past Q3 estimates. Well, that's a bricks-and-mortar stock that's in deep trouble. Anyways, Wells Fargo likes it, and while they're at it, they like Tapestry. Well, you know Tapestry. That's Coach and other brand luxury goods in a COVID economy. No thanks. Wells Fargo, not only can they not run their own company, they're not too good at picking stocks in other sectors either. Philip Morris. Okay, there's another example. They beat by 6 cents. Would you invest in the tobacco industry? It's an industry that's shrinking. They tried to revive the industry with the Juul products and the vaping, and that didn't turn out so good. Philip Morris is another, just like IBM, with a fat dividend yield, 6.2%, and a stock that's been going down for years. Okay, you go back 4 years ago on Philip Morris, it was a $123 stock. Today it's $75. That dividend you're getting is not even covering the loss of principal that you're experiencing over the years. I don't understand the people that look at these 4 and 5% dividend yield and say, what do I care what the stock does as long as I get my dividend? Philip Morris reported earnings. They beat by 6 cents. They beat on revenues, but in a very, very poor industry, the tobacco sector. Okay, when we come back, I've got three candidates as my featured stock of the day. I think I'll roll a dice. We'll see which one I lean to when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
You got to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Dow now up 216. We've got a little bit of gains here since we went to break. And we've got the NASDAQ right now up as the bug comes around there. NASDAQ up, just 43 now. So you're seeing some of the air come out of the tires of the NASDAQ and the tech stocks, and all eyes on Mnuchin and Pelosi today with Trump in the middle, I suppose. And, of course, the Republican Senate sitting back there going, I don't know. We don't have a big appetite for another big stimulus bill, especially when you look at the current state of our America's balance sheet and how much debt we've already racked up. COVID has not been cheap. Well, what are we going to do here? Which stock are we going to feature here? There's several that I could do. I like them all. I really do. I think I'm going to go with Canadian Solar. What? Canadian Solar? I never heard of Canadian Solar. Let me tell you, the solar sector is absolutely on fire right now. And, of course, the solar sector is obviously probably more than likely looking ahead to a potential blue wave in November, 2 weeks from today. And, of course, alternative energy stocks have been on a roll here for quite some time, for the last several months, whether it's wind energy, as in Vestas Wind, whether it's in the solar stocks, such as First Solar, Canadian Solar, Daco Energy, the list goes on and on there with the solar stocks. The ethanol stocks have been absolutely red hot recently. Geothermal stocks have been red hot. And, of course, there's ETFs. There's many. There's an ICLN, which is a clean energy index. There's TAN, which is a solar index. There's FAN, which is a wind index clean energy fund. Lots of different ways to play the clean energy. But I own in my most aggressive portfolio. Remember, I manage five different portfolios. We've got from the bond portfolio, which Paul manages with my help. I'm the co-portfolio manager there. And then all of the stock equity portfolios and ETF portfolios is my wheelhouse. And in the emerging growth portfolio, Canadian Solar is a $2.5 billion company. There aren't a lot of big, giant, dominant companies. First Solar would be the one that comes closest to that. Enphase is a big player in the solar space. Of course, Tesla is a big player in the solar space. Don't forget that he bought his own company and merged it in with Tesla, SolarCity. So you also get exposure to solar through Tesla. In fact, if you go to Tesla's website, you can also get an estimate for solar. Okay, well, Canadian Solar is a manufacturer of ingot wafers, solar cells, solar modules, and other solar applications. The stock is up 6.5% today. I don't care what sector. I don't care what market cap. I apply the same requirements. I need to have value, and I like a little momentum along with my value. Otherwise, you get into a value trap. And if you just go with momentum alone, you got to pay attention to value. Well, it's rare that those two come together. I mean, on a daily basis, out of my database of 5,400 and my proprietary proprietary algorithms that crawl out into the market every night and bring back everything, and those numbers get crunched, it narrows down my universe of the stocks that meet my strict criteria of valuation and a little momentum. I don't like either one by themselves, but when you combine the two like peanut butter and chocolate, now we got a taste treat that's delicious. Well, anyways, Canadian Solar has got a P.E. ratio of 11. It's got momentum like crazy right now. It's not for dividend investors. It's not for conservative growth investors. It's not for income investors. This is my most aggressive portfolio, which has done very, very well so far this year. I liken it to a double-A baseball team. In fact, I have a lot of fun in this area of the market. I show Canadian Solar, my valuation on it over the next 5 years is $76 per share. It's currently trading at 42, so there's plenty of value there. And from a momentum point of view, it's an A-plus momentum grade and an A-minus performance grade. And when you add those two together, it ranks number 272 out of 5,430. It's in the news today. That's another reason I chose to feature it here today. Oh, the news isn't that big, but Canadian Solar unveils a long-term service agreement with Goldman Sachs Renewable Power to deliver and integrate a 75-megawatt lithium-ion battery storage solution in California. Hey, that's a good little contract to get. So we'll make Canadian Solar our featured stock of the day and disclose that it is one of the stocks that I own in my emerging growth portfolio. Well, hey, this has been fun. Let's come back and do it tomorrow. I've been behind the mic for the last 23 years here on the Best Stocks Now radio. I hope to be here another 23 years. We'll see, God willing. Anyways, if you'd like to call us, we have five portfolios that we manage here, from the most easy on the nerves to the more aggressive. But we're pretty much tilted towards the growth areas of the market, but our bond fund has also done quite well, and we can mix those portfolios. That's where the conversation my advisors comes in, so that they can help you, they can talk to you, ask questions, find out your risk tolerance, where you're headed, where you want to be, how many years you've got, where's your starting point. Failing to plan is planning to fail. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And, of course, you can take a gander at our different portfolios. I publish them every week in the newsletter, which I offer out 2 free weeks to anybody that wants to inquire or look into our services. You can go to GundersonCapital.com. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.